Welcome to Citra, the hiding place, an outreach meeting of the New and Living Way Church Ikorodu, where we bring to you teachings inspired by the Spirit of the Living God for the work of salvation through His ministers. Be blessed as you listen.
From verse 1 to verse 3, Hebrews chapter 6, from verse 1 to verse 3. If we are there, can we say amen? All right, can we read together? One, two, go. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. So I like the fact that all these things that we have read, what you will see in front of it is of repentance from dead works, of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment, which means two things. Number one, it means that each of these things are different in themselves. So we can't just lump them all up. So repentance, foundation of repentance, all these things make up the foundation. Are we together? All these things make up the foundation. You remember that scripture that says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Which means, even though you are righteous, you can't manage a faulty foundation. So your righteousness will necessarily not make, you know, you can be stranded as a righteous man with a faulty foundation. Do we get the picture? So this is our own foundation. The foundation of the dealings of God with a soul is actually this. So foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. So you can have the first one and you don't have the second one. Do we understand? Repentance from dead works will produce a spirit inside you. And that spirit or that attitude is the attitude that wants to get out of everything that is not clean. You know, that attitude that is not comfortable with anything that is bad, anything that does not bring glory to Jesus. Are we together? You know, so, and it's possible for a soul to have that, and then the soul does not have faith towards God. Those are the kind of people that come, they can stay under the weight of condemnation for a very long time. So, you did something wrong 2 years ago, you are still begging God for it today. So, there is something there, and then there is something that is not there. Do we understand what I'm saying? So there is foundation of, so there's repentance from dead works, then there is of faith towards God. And I think we did a good job there. God helped us, you know. So then the next one now is of the doctrine of baptisms. So the first thing I want to say today is that you see all these things that we are seeing in this place. I like, you know, when Paul wrote, and of eternal judgment, he put a full stop there. So which means that they are definite. Yes. Do we understand? The things that make for the curriculum of the milk of the word are definite things. It can be more than this, but it should never be lesser than this. In fact, if it's going to be more than this, all the other things you are going to be adding to it should be an offshoot of these things. For example, prayer is not here, but prayer is there. Do we understand what I'm saying? Soul winning is not here, but soul winning is there. When you read this, for example, love to all the saints does not look like it's here, but it is there. Are we understanding? So everything is inside this place. For example, Pastor was talking to us about the issue of prayer, how a lot of us have faith in our feelings much more than we have in God, you know. And I remember telling some people sometimes that, sure, you know that when you pray, those times that you have wonderful feeling, it doesn't mean God is closer. Does not mean God is closer. When you are praying and the thing is dry, all the saliva in your mouth is dry, even your tongue, everything is not making sense. Sure, you understand? You're just speaking tongues, the whole thing is just doing kakpa, 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 kakpa. Now, that doesn't mean God is far. It's your feelings that is variable. God is constant. Let's say God is constant. So he's not going to be here today and then tomorrow, by the time you are looking for him, you are not finding him. No, you are the one that can shift. He does not shift. And the fact that you are feeling dry does not mean he's not close to you. And the fact that you feel so anointed does not mean that, wow, today God remembered me. No, he doesn't forget. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So now, that particular moment, you know, that thing that pastor described, now that's an offshoot of faith towards God. It's faith that makes you know that regardless of how I feel, God's commitment to me is the same. You know, sometimes you wake up in the morning and then you just feel like you are backslided. You understand? You just feel like, God has forgotten. In fact, the way I am like this, I don't even think. Now, all those things is just your feelings playing pranks on you. Pastor just sang one song. They like that song. Lord, you seem so far away. A million miles or more. See, you understand? I like the way he said, you seem, but it's not far. It's closer to you than the clothes you are putting on. They said, in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. See, you understand? So, God is so close. So close. You know the way the Bible described him? An ever-present help in time of trouble. Do you know what that means? That means before your trouble started, he's there. So, it's not like, okay, when you are now in trouble, hey. So, it's now time to bring God in. No, the trouble met him there. So, when they say ever-present help, he's there. So, it's not your prayer that will now import him to come and deal with the problem. I remember when I was in the university, there was this particular, I was reading, I think Psalm 90. It says that, because he has set his love upon me, I will, with long life will I satisfy him and I will show him my salvation. Then he now said, I will be with him in trouble. I had problem with others. Why would you be with me in trouble instead of delivering me from trouble? Are you not God? Trouble. Who likes trouble? Sure, you understand? So he said, I will be with him in trouble. It's easier for God to deliver you from trouble. God says, no, I don't want to deliver you from trouble. I will be with you inside the trouble. Then I discovered that it's a greater miracle for God to be with you in trouble and then deliver. He said, he shall call upon me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Do you know that this deliverance is not necessarily the removal of the trouble? The deliverance is the fact that you are in trouble, but you are not troubled. Do you understand what I say? So it says that when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. That's an example of I will be with him in trouble. He said, when you go through the fire, I will be with you. The flames will not kindle upon you. Do you know what that means? That means you will go through things. By the time you are coming out, you don't look like you ever went through anything. Sure, you understand? Now, that's a greater deliverance. So, why? Because he is with you. So, you will go through things, and then those things you are going through will not assault your mind. You won't become, the Bible says oppression makes a man mad. You will not become mad because you went through certain things. Why? Because he is with you. Do we understand? So, faith towards God helps us to understand that the presence of trouble is not the absence of God. The presence of trouble or the presence of turmoil does not mean God is not there. There's this book I read in my undergraduate days. I just saw it. A very small pamphlet. I think it's somebody's message that they transcribed. The title of that book is When God is Present but Silent. Now, the person that wrote that thing is actually somebody. The person that preached that message is somebody who was going through dealings. And those dealings are still things around the faith. You know, faith towards God. So these things are very important for us to know. Let's say amen. All right, so all of these things are different from each other. You can have one and then you don't have another one. If what you have is not up to this particular number, then you don't have milk. You know, what you have is not complete. It's just like, you know, pastor talking about the secretion of a woman who doesn't feed well. Some nutrients will be missing in the milk that she produces. So some nutrients will be missing. Sure, you understand? So prayer, all the other things. Sometimes you go to a particular church, you sit down, and then the pastor is teaching on holiness. Holiness unto the Lord is inside this place. But you won't see holiness as something standing. So every message that you hear, you can tell how accurate it is by using these six cardinal references to judge them. Do we understand that? So if these things are written on your inside, if these things are written on the tablet of your heart, you can use it to detect error when you hear it. You can use it to detect error. Now, we shouldn't be believers who are like, I can't judge you. God is the one that judges. You should be able to judge. The New Testament church is a church that should be able to judge. Yes, thank you, Pastor. Pastor just gave me one scripture that says, the spiritual man judgeth all things, yet he himself is rightly judged of no one. So you should be able to judge. But this judgment is ability to separate what is true from what is false. Not like you are sitting on an armchair and you are passing judgment. No. But ability to just know that this is not healthy for consumption. One of our sisters traveled to the UK. She's staying with a family there. And she, where she is not London. You know, she's somewhere else. So I think where she is to London is like maybe 5 hours drive or so. So she needed a church to go. She now told me that the family I'm staying with, there's a particular church they go to. And then she sent me the name of the church. I just replied her. At that moment, she messaged me. I was doing something that is not supposed to accommodate me sending message. But I had to reply her. I said, don't go to that church. It is not, their doctrine is not sound. And immediately I said this, she just said, thank you very much, Pastor Mike. I won't go there. I will look for another church somewhere. I said, you can go to any other place. But that particular church, their doctrine is not sound. So now, I will never come on TV or come on social media, mention the name of that church and blast the church. Are you getting what I'm saying? Or open a YouTube channel. And then I'm now saying that, brethren, these are surely the end times. That look at this thing. Jesus, in fact, just quickly come. You see all those guys that do those things? I don't know what is wrong with them. Nobody send them message. This person will preach this message. And this person will preach me. They will now say, this person replied this one like this. And then they will now put the whole thing. And they have a lot of engagements. Share your understanding. So now I won't go to open a YouTube channel and now sit down and now tear down that church. No. My ability to judge is to keep me and the people around me safe. Yeah. Are we understanding what I'm saying? It's for what? Safety's sake. So it's not because I want to sit down and then pass judgment on that church. People in that church, they are gone. No. I don't even have that right. So, but we should be able to judge. Do we understand what I'm saying? To judge means to be able to determine that this is not right, and then this is right. One church in the book of Revelation, Jesus said, Jesus was commending them for trying those who call themselves apostles. He said, you tried those who call themselves apostles and found them liars. So, a church that will finish must be a church that has ability to judge. So we should be able to judge. Are we together? For example, you listen to a very wonderful message. The message, the division of the Bible, so powerful. But the guy said that believers are not sinners. And so believers don't need repentance from dead works. That's an error you just had. So believers are the ones that should be taught repentance from dead works. Are we together? Because you don't teach repentance to men who are dead. You teach repentance to people who are alive. Because it's people who are alive that have the ability to turn. Do we understand that? God will help us in Jesus' name. Okay, so we've looked at repentance from dead works, faith towards God. So today, I just have it in my heart to, you know, just quickly run through this. The doctrine of baptisms. Let's say the doctrine of baptisms. I like the fact that it's a doctrine. Let's say doctrine. So the second thing I said concerning the off is that I see these six things as the six ducts through which milk flows from the mother into the mouth of the baby. Do we understand? Now, the mother we are talking about here is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the mother. And then the Holy Ghost is the one that is in charge of that allocation of what that is called the milk. So, the Holy Ghost is the one who secretes this thing. So, it has like six ducts. And one is repentance from dead works. The other is faith towards God. The third one is doctrine of baptisms. Then laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. So they are like the avenue through which life enters into the soul of the baby, especially at the dimension of the milk of the word. So what is baptism? So when we say doctrine of baptism, I like this. It's not the act of baptizing. Do we understand that? It's a doctrine. Let's say doctrine. So the doctrine of baptisms. Doctrine of baptisms. So I like the fact that it's pluralized because it means that there are many baptisms. So we have more than one baptism. Let's say amen. The one that we all grew up in church to know is water baptism. And water baptism is a sacrament. And it's something we will never stop doing. Are we together? You know, sometimes people get high on revelation knowledge and then they throw away ancient landmarks. You know, and then they are like, no, I'm baptized in the spirit. I'm baptized. And then they won't enter water. Sure, you understand? You are doing something. You are damaging something to yourself. Now, water baptism is an outward demonstration of what happened to our spirits when we got born again. So it's an outward demonstration of your being united with Jesus in his death and also being united with him at his resurrection. Are we together? So the first thing that should happen to you before you partake of water baptism is you should be born again first. Are we following me? Sure, we are following me. What did I say should happen to you before you enter water? If not, like Kenneth Hagin said, you will enter a dry sinner and then you will come out a wet sinner. In fact, you will just look like somebody who went to swim. What you have done will have no bearing concerning your life in any way spiritually, because what you are supposed to put first, you didn't put it first. So your spirit, first and foremost, was baptized into Christ the day you got born again. Are we understanding? So you are planted, all of us like this, we were planted with him in the likeness of his death and then also in the likeness of his resurrection. So that happened to us in our spirits when we got born again. So water baptism is now taking our body and now dipping that body inside water as a formal demonstration or an open demonstration of identification with Jesus's death and resurrection. Are we following me? Are we following me? So it's something very beautiful and it's something that needs to be upheld. And Paul, in writing Romans chapter 6, spoke about it. And he spoke about the significance of that. You know, there are some kind of churches where water baptism now is something they do to clinch titles in church. The importance of the act itself is lost. So they just tell you that I made him a deacon, if only he just did water baptism. The guy will go and arrange it for himself. Finally, I've come, I've done water baptism. In fact, my name is Peter Paul Andrew. Are you understanding? And then you just look for one powerful name to give themselves. That's their baptismal name. And then they are like, how can you be answering three names? Then no, it's a compound name, compound name. They say, okay, compound name. So why? Because being a deacon is key for that. So being a deacon is everything. And the day they are going to make him a deacon, he's going to cook special food. He will bring different kind of family. The kind of clothes he's going to wear. Shall you understand? So that's an example of people who go through that action without being taught what that thing really, really means. So it's not something to be done to clinch titles in church or to have positions in church or something that when I now do it finally, I will be able to take Holy Communion. You know, there are a lot of people that take Holy Communion absent-mindedly. They just see it as, I want to enter into that class of people that take Holy Communion. Some people can't stand the fact that some people have access to some things and they don't have. Why? They now say that, those people, they are special. I want Bara Olua. You know what I'm saying? So how come I cannot now take Araolua? They now say, because you have not done baptism. And then they just say, when is the next baptismal class? And then the next thing, they have gone to go and do. Because they don't just want the fact that some people are coming out to come and take bread and take wine. You know, thank God for EGFM. Thank God for NLWs. Everybody takes wine and bread. But I've been in some churches where it's not everybody that takes wine and bread. They will tell you that you have to, you first go through some kind of class. Then you now do whatever. After that, you now do... Sure, you understand? So, I want to be also taking bread too. I want to be taking... There's a way the soul is. The soul is very funny. It's going to look like... It's going to look like... You see that thing those people are doing? They will look very special. It's like there's one class and then you don't want to be outside that class. So you want to do everything. As in, God will have mercy on us. No... God will have mercy on us. So all of those things are things that problems that can easily get sorted with accurate teaching in church. Are we following me? The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So I want us to look at, but so there is the baptism. So there is the baptism that our spirits experienced when we got born again. Are we together? Then there is a baptism that our body also experiences, which is an outward demonstration of what happened to our spirits when we got born again. Are we following me? Then there is now the baptism that our souls will experience. The first of those baptisms is the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Let's say baptism in the Holy Ghost. Baptism in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. You know? And then, that's your initiation into the realm of the Spirit. For your spirit to be led to salvation. Do we get? Then after that baptism in the Holy Ghost, there are still some other baptisms also. For example, Matthew 28, Jesus spoke about baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The person they are baptizing like that is the soul. Let's say the soul. Let's say the soul. So to baptize is to dip or to immerse. Let's say immerse. Let's say immerse. All right. So that is what baptism literally means. So I want us to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, I just have one place to go today, and I'm trusting God that we are going to be blessed in Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want us to read from verse 12 to verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want us to read from verse 12 to verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 12 to verse 13. If we are there, can we say amen? All right, can we read together? One, two, go. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now, is that statement correct? What we just read now, is it correct? Is it correct? So, our body has many members, yes or no? Yes. And all the members, they don't stand on their own, yes or no? And when you see a man, when all the members are present in front of you like this, inside a man, it is one body. They said, so the same way it is with our body, that is how it also is in Christ. Do we get? All right, let's look at the next verse. The next verse, verse 13. So can we read together? One, two, go. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Now, this is the beginning of judgment against races. Are we together? So they said, by one Spirit. Let's say by one Spirit. Are we all baptized into one body? So when they say the body of Christ, we were all baptized into that one body by one Spirit, the same Holy Ghost. Let's say the same Holy Ghost. So they now said, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. So this is the beginning. Understanding of the doctrine of baptisms will defeat tribalism. Do we understand? Inside the soul. So whether we be Jews or Gentiles, there is no Jewish Holy Ghost. And there is no Gentile Holy Ghost. It is the same Holy Ghost. Let's say the same Holy Ghost. There is no African Holy Ghost. And then European Holy Ghost. There is no black Holy Ghost. And there is no white Holy Ghost. You know, I've discovered that. You see all those dichotomies that some ministers do many times is actually as a result of milk that is not even present. For example, they will tell you that, they said you should pray. Let me say it very well, the way they used to say it in my church. When you go, Badra, Onse Father Lord. Ogun aye, Ogboyinbo. You understand? Now, as if the evil spirit that is troubling you has tribal marks. You know, there is no demon that has tribal marks. You know what that means? There is no Yoruba spirit. In the beginning, before man fell, all those spirits have been. They didn't have tribe. They didn't have nations. They didn't have tongues. So it was the fall. They are being cast into the earth, and then when they entered, they now took different positions. But all the places where they now decided to stay has not changed the core, their core essence from being spirits. Do we understand? So there is no spirit you have to use Yoruba to address. And there's no spirit.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
That is just psychology. It's not truth. Do you understand? So they will tell you that I want go to Jeko one year lolu. Oru na ni. Do you get? All those things is just psychology. Those things are not spirits. Those things are not founded on truth. Do we understand? See, milk will deliver you from all of that. I remember a season of my life where I had a problem, and then somebody told me that you have to pray. You got to show it, go show Jula Sansa. Any that is badra. In fact, any deliverance. What happened? Because I was waiting for call up letter, and then the thing had not come. So I had extra semester in school, and then by the time my result was done, I think about how many sets, maybe like 5 sets NYC. They were just going. So every time, this kind goeth not out but by fasting on top of NYSC. Shey, you understand? NYSC. And of course, the devil was using that whole thing to mess my mind up too. But this is where milk is very good. Even though my mind was messed up, and what was messing my mind up, I didn't have an answer for the situation. People are asking me, so what is happening to you right now? Is it the will of God? I said, I don't know. In fact, I've learned since to be saying I don't know when I don't know something. I can't be defending God. Do you understand? For something that I don't know. I'll just say, tell you I don't know. But I still love Jesus, nonetheless. So, but in my messed up state, I know some things I can never do. She said, any deliverance gone. In fact, I need that bad. If I let Shefra ain't gone. Around 2 a.m., Lord, remove all your clothes, strip yourself naked, and cry! And see whether God will answer the prayer. I now sat down, I now thought about it. Me. As in, me. I will now remove my clothes. 2 a.m. in the midnight. I will now be harassing God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, God! God! What's happening? On top of anywhere. So by the time I'm now done, by the time I now get the call of it, how will I now feel? As in, I was just thinking about many things. And I said, sorry, Mao, I have a question. She now said, what's the question? I said, what makes prayers answered 2 a.m. and it doesn't make it answered 9 a.m.? She was now looking at me. I said, now, the God that will answer the prayer 2 a.m., is it not the same God that will also answer the prayer 9 a.m.? She now kept quiet. She was looking at me like this. He said, Moshe, I'm going to walk. I'm going to walk. I said no. When I got to bed, I told my younger brother. My younger brother said, "When I'm network man clear." He said, "Because the network will not be jamming. Because a lot of people that used to trouble heaven, they will have been sleeping." As in, I just walked away from the woman. I just knew this woman cannot counsel me, and I'll take anything she's saying seriously. I didn't do any harassment. I didn't do any prayer. I've finished serving now. A long time ago, in fact. So, yes, because I was just thinking about it. It was in NYC I met my wife. So maybe if I had gone earlier, there's no way I would have ever met her. It's not even possible. Because we didn't finish from the same school. I finished from Adekunle Ajashi University, Akumba. She finished from UNILAC. In fact, our paths will never have crossed. So just looking back, I just say, I think if it is for the sake of meeting this lady that they delayed me, it's worth it. Do you understand? So now, all those kind of stuff is lack of milk that makes a soul think that way. Do we understand? So just looking at it, the God you are praying to does not live in time. So he's not bound by time. It's not like 2 a.m. God is now saying that any request that comes to me at this time, honestly speaking, express. No. No. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. You know what he said? He said your 2 a.m. is 9 a.m. somewhere else. Do you understand? Your 2 a.m., like right now, we are still talking about Canada SOS. Canada SOS now. They are preparing for morning session. This is already getting close to our own revelation, our time. So, your own 2 a.m., what time will it be by that time? By their own time. So, God doesn't dwell in time. Your 2 a.m. is a deception to your mind. Do you get? So, whatever it is that gives you that boldness, that yes, this is the time to fire prayer, you're already in deceit. You're already deceived. So, God is not well positioned to answer prayer at that time. It doesn't live in time. So, he lives in a realm that is above time. How you reach him is by faith. Are we understanding? And you see that realm where he lives in. The network is always clear. There's no time you pray that he will not respond. Yes, it's just make sure that your prayer is according to his will. Are we following me? All right. So there is no Yoruba spirit. Then there is no English spirit. One of the ways by which you can tell that the apostles had milk was when the Holy Ghost came. The Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost and fell on the 120 that were in the upper room. But of course, that's Acts chapter 2. It was after that they now began to, apostles' doctrine and all of that. By the time it was time for the Gentiles to actually come in, Cornelius was a centurion. Cornelius was not a Jew. Cornelius, in fact, when after they had shown Peter that thing 3 times, they were trying to open Peter's heart so that Peter would be able to step out of the comfort zone of ministering to Jews to ministering to Gentiles. So he saw unclean animals, because by reason of the law, the Jews were the clean people, the Gentiles were the unclean people. You remember what Jesus said to that Syrophoenician woman? He said, "It is not meet, or it is not fitting, to give the bread of the children to dogs." The dogs are the Gentiles. You see, all of us like this, we are dogs to Jews. Are you getting what I'm saying? Even though you say I'm spiritual Israel, we are dogs. In our body, in our flesh, we are all dogs. The Jews, there's a way they see themselves. Recently, I was just reading up, I saw one particular video of a Jewish rabbi. A lot of them still observe all those ceremonies. So I was listening to the man and his wife. And then when I saw all those kind of cleansing that they do, a lot of things that they do, I understood one of the reasons why they will feel superior to every other race on the face of the earth. Do we understand? So we are like dogs. So they showed Peter. Only God knows the kind of animals. I'm sure it's not only dog that's inside. Maybe hyena will be there. Different kinds of stuff. Maybe some people represent guys in India. Some animals represent guys. Different kinds of stuff. They brought it down from heaven 3 times. And then he said, "No, Lord. Not so, Lord. I have never eaten anything that is unclean." Because he told him, "Arise, kill and eat." And then that thing was let down 3 times and then went up. And after that, they told him, "Some people are waiting for you downstairs. Just go down. Don't ask them any question. Follow them." Peter followed them. When Peter got to the house of Cornelius, and Peter began to minister, as Peter began to preach. In fact, Peter was not preaching yet. Peter was still explaining the reason why he was there. That, normally, I don't come to places like this. I'm a Jew. I should not be even found in places like this, But as Peter was still preaching, in fact, Peter had not taken the message to the point where the people will be asking, "What shall we do?" The Bible says the Holy Ghost fell on all of them. They spoke with tongues and they prophesied. When Peter went back, give me verse 45. Let me see. Okay, thank you. So let's read from verse 48. 48 and 49, put it together. 48 and 49. Put it together. Okay, no. Give me 47. 47 and 48. Thank you. So, can we read 47 together? Okay, give me 46 and 47. 46 and 47. 46 and 47. So, can we read this together? 1, 2, go. "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water?" Any man, let's say any man, "that this should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we." When Peter went back to Jerusalem to give them an account of what happened here, what transpired here. He said the same Holy Ghost that fell on us fell on them. And now, the fact that they didn't do that dichotomy, you know, it's very easy for you to say, okay. You know, the spirits, there are measures there. So our ghost is more original than their own ghost. Or you just listen and say, you know, there are some people, when you hear them speaking, you know, their tongue is fake. Shay, you understand what I'm saying? Do you get? So maybe the tongue, their tongue is fake. Did you listen to that tongue? Did you listen? You know that, no, that tongue, there's something wrong with it, you know, because of the way the tongue is. How can somebody be filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm just saying, Ikoto Tabaya. Ikoto Tabaya. What's Ikoto? What's Tabaya? Do you understand what I'm saying? So you know those kind of stuff like that is... That was not what the disciples did. The apostles, who had apostles' doctrine, they did not do that. They said they received the same Holy Ghost, just the same way. So, see where he was giving the report. Can we read this? Acts 11:15. Want to go? And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. So, the Holy Ghost did not make any distinction. Do we understand? So it is by that same spirit that we all were baptized into Christ. So what makes you a Christian is the same thing that makes an Indian a Christian. Are we following me? What makes you a Christian is the same thing that makes a man in the Amazon jungle who has confessed the lordship of Jesus but does not wear clothes a Christian. Now, that person is your brother. Are we following me? That person is what? That's your brother. The person may not know how to speak good English. The person may not be dressing to your taste. But if that person has confessed the lordship of Jesus and has believed in his heart that God raised him from the dead, especially when they now get baptized in the Holy Ghost. My dear brethren, that's your brother. Now, your brother be that. He doesn't have to look like you. Do we get it? How many of us have siblings at home? How did you know that that person is your sibling? Your parents just told you. Am I correct? Abureniel. That's all. Some, they just carry the baby to the house. Yes. You've never seen the birth certificate. Some of you, you and your siblings don't look alike. But you believe that they are your siblings. Why? Because they said so. Now, it's easier for us to do that in the natural. But in the realm of the spirit, we can do segregation. And the only reason why we do that is because we don't understand the doctrine of baptisms. Are we together? You said, by one spirit, are we all baptized into one body? Let's say one body. The body of Christ on the earth is one. Let's say one. The body of Christ on the earth is not two. Is one. One body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free. He now puts semicolon. He now said, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. Now you see, this drinking into one spirit is different from baptism into one body. So two things happen there. By one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Let's say amen. Amen. Then the second one is that we have all been made to drink into one spirit. Now that's a different experience. This all being made to drink into one spirit is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let's say baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because one of the things that Jesus used to explain baptism in the Holy Ghost is drink. John chapter 7. Let's go to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Are we following me today? God is helping us in Jesus' name. John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. John chapter 7, from verse 37 to 39. So if we are there, can we say amen? Can we read together? One, two, go. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me, and, next verse. He that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Next verse, verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Let's say should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So there were two things Jesus said in that place. If anybody is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Then out of his belly shall flow forth rivers of living water. Two different experiences. But John, writing now, said that this is said concerning the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. One of the things that I learned from Reverend Kenneth Hagin, I read one of his books on baptism in the Holy Ghost, and he said the word that was really used to describe baptism of the Holy Ghost in the Acts of Apostles is receive the Spirit. Receive the Spirit. So, and then I just went through like that, and then I saw it. So he said he was talking about the Holy Ghost, which those who believe on him should receive, because the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So let's go back to that 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12. By one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. That happened to our spirits. Let's say amen. Then, by one, and we all have been made to drink into one Spirit. Now, this one now is the infilling of the Holy Ghost that happens to our souls. Do we understand that? The same Holy Ghost. Let's say same Holy Ghost. It's not different. The same Holy Ghost that fills you and makes you speak in tongues is the same Holy Ghost that fills a Chinese man. Same Holy Ghost. And you know where this thing is. If God is not making distinction based on races, you should not make distinction based on it. I should not make distinctions based on it. Do we understand? The same Holy Ghost that fills a man is the same Holy Ghost that fills a woman. There's no female Holy Ghost. It's not like, oh, you know, Holy Ghost. No. Do you understand? No. Same Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost doesn't do discrimination. So, discrimination is the beginning of judgment on that thing in our minds, is the doctrine of baptism. So we need to understand that thing. By one Spirit, when you got born again, they took your spirit, drafted it in. Then another person got born again, took it, drafted it in. Now, if you want to be mentioning all the parts of your body, there are many. There are very many. That's how many the body of Christ is. So every one of us, they said, we are all members of the body. We are all one body, and then we are members in particular. Let's say in particular. All right, so let's look at the next verse, verse 14. So we'll be made to drink into one spirit. Verse 14. So can we read it? For the body is not one member, but what? So one body, how many members? Many members. Let's say many members. Next verse, verse 15. So can we read it together? One, two, go. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? In fact, let me jump. Let me jump. You know why I want to jump, but there's something I want to say. The doctrine of baptisms will put honor for the body in your soul. Let's say honor for the body. Let's say regard for the body. You know, there are some people that they don't believe they are part of the body. When you see somebody who stand up, like you know, pastor was ministering, spoke about some ministers in the body. Sometimes when you listen to some ministers, you just know that, hey, the journey is far. Some of them can have gifts of the Spirit, but you can tell that they don't have milk. Let me tell us something that happened, you know, not too long ago, very recently. I don't know if I've discussed this thing with pastor. We are going for Lekki Soul Center one day, and mommy now was talking to daddy Oyegoke about one oga that she worked with. She worked under that man many years ago. And that man is a very tricky man, somehow, trickish. So mommy said those days she will be going for a program, and then she will apply for leave. And the man will say that, I want to partake of the blessing of that program, so I will give you leave so that you can go for the program. So the man can listen to messages, but I think he didn't have a very good relationship with his wife, you know, and all of that. So mommy shall leave, you know, mommy worked under that man, and by the wisdom of God, mommy was able to relate with that man, you know, till mommy was through. And that was many, many, many years ago. So mommy now said the man just called her suddenly. And as the man called her, the man said that, so how are you doing? He said, I'm very fine, though. He said, that the man said that he just discovered, because the man has retired. I think the man is over 70, well over 70. Said, he just discovered that he has a calling. into the ministry, that the Lord has called him into ministry. And that your husband is a pastor now, that your husband is a reverend. I said, yes. I said, so I want to start my own ministry. So I want someone that will ordain me into ministry. Someone that will release me into ministry. That, so I don't know how you can do it. Maybe you can just arrange. Maybe you can just arrange a meeting. You know. In fact, I like the fact that doctrine of baptism and laying on of hands are not far from each other. Sure, you understand? Because this also is under laying on of hands. So maybe you can just arrange a meeting so that you can just pray for me and then release me into ministry. Ah, mommy said, ah, Ogami. Eh, okay, okay, okay. So mommy was not like, okay, if God called you, what did he call you to come and do? The man said, ah, no, he has called me. He gave me a message. The message he gave me is that I should be warning churches. I should be warning churches. So mommy was not telling daddy that, so maybe there's a way, you know. Daddy now said, daddy said, I'm not praying. Therefore, he cannot see me. Mommy said, no, that, you know, there's a way you can go about that prayer. Maybe when you want to pray for him, you just say, Lord, please give your servant wisdom. Daddy said, no. Then the next statement that he made cracked all of us up. Daddy said, Daddy said, I know this kind of souls. By the time you are done praying, you just wake up tomorrow morning and go and want daddy at your way. He said, you just wake up and go and want daddy at your way. And then next week, you go and want Bishop with your boy. And when they now call him that, so, who ordained this way to ministry? Oh my God. That is it. I'm not doing it. Mommy said, so what will I tell him? That is it. You go and think of what to say. Year-old man, no milk. What kind of message is that? God just called you to go and be warning people. Is that a message? Do you understand? So there are some people that they don't see who they shouldn't talk to. They don't see. I fear only God. Baba Kumuyi, your time is up. That's a very stupid soul. Are you getting what I'm saying? You are not white. When you look at them, you just tell. Something is lacking. So that thing that he said, that thing that he did in the car that day was just a demonstration of what Paul said to Timothy, lay hands suddenly on no man. Neither be partakers of other men's sins. So that means you can partake of people's sins when you ordain them hastily. Every mistake that ministry is going to make, your name is going to be on it. So he said, lay hands suddenly on no man. Neither be partakers of other men's sins. Keep yourself pure. Are you saying purity? So purity is beyond keep yourself pure from fornication. No, there are some kind of purity that even though you are not sleeping with women, you can be terribly impure before God. In fact, this impurity is worse than that other one. He said, don't be partakers of other men's sins. Keep yourself pure. So there are some people that when you look at them, the way they interact with the body, you can tell that the doctrine of baptisms is not there. They are not taught that they are members of the body. The body is not their member. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let's say members of the body. What does that mean? That means that if you detach yourself from the body, you will die. You are the one that needs the body. The body does not need you. And that's one of the reasons why when you see our parents, they have so much regard for the body. Shall I tell us the truth? EGFM, New Living Way Church, all of us like this, the reason why God is doing what he's doing with us is with the body in mind. Let's say with the body in mind. So it says, you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Verse 20. Okay, no. There's a place where I want to go to. Where he's now started talking. Okay, verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? No. And if the eye shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? No. Verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it had pleased him. Verse 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? Verse 20. But now are they many members, yet but one body. So verse 21. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Verse 22. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble. Yes. Are necessary. Let's say necessary. Let's say necessary. Do you know what it means for something to be feeble? It means that it is without strength. But those parts are necessary. Now, I want you to see something. Paul said, if the eye should say to the ear, or if the hand shall say to, or maybe if the eye shall say to the hand, because I am not of, I am not the hand, I'm not of the body. Shall you understand? Now, thank you. Is it therefore not of the body? There's a place where I'm going. So, verse 16. If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body. Verse 21. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Are we following me? Now, if members of the body, one member, cannot do without the other member, how about the owner of the body? So if a member of the body needs another member of the body, then the owner of the body needs every member of the body preserved. Do we understand? Because I want us to have a little bit of insight into how the Lord Jesus Christ sees the body. So there's a way he sees the body. Then he now went on to tell us now the placement of the body, the way things in the body are arranged. Give me verse 20. Yes. So much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Let's say necessary. So I said being feeble is something that does not have strength, something that is weak. Let's say weak. Now you see this feebleness speaks of members of the body that don't have knowledge. Because if the Bible says a man of knowledge increases strength, so what makes a man feeble is lack of that which supplies strength. Are we understanding? But they now said they are necessary. Let's say they are necessary. So you are coming to church on Sunday, and then you just saw one man that is wearing white garment, and then the man is just going like that, barefoot. You see that person you are looking at is necessary. Let's say necessary. So you know sometimes you just look at them. When you hear some story, let them just eradicate all of them. They will not eradicate them. Because they are feeble, but they are necessary. Let's look at the next verse, verse 23. I'm going somewhere. Verse 23. So can we read this together? One, two, go. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable. Why? Because they are feeble. Do we understand? So we don't put too much of honor on them. We think they are less honorable. Which we think to be less honorable. Upon this we bestow more abundant honor. Do you know who is bestowing more abundant honor? It is the owner of the body. Let's say the owner of the body. So let me give you a very good example. Every part of your body that has bones are the part of your body you can easily show. Am I correct? But the feeble ones are the ones that you hide. So hiding them is your way of bestowing upon them more abundant honor. When you see a lady who exposes her body anyhow, that lady has no honor for her body. I was talking with a lady who came to church with one very, very bad clothes. And then one of our pastors that, you know, we talked to her together just told me that as soon as the person chatted with her, I said no, because that day I wasn't in church. He said, please, she was something. I told her to report herself to you. So she just entered my DM, Pastor Mike. I just said, can you take a picture? Did you take a picture of yourself in church today? She said, yes. I said, send me the picture. When she sent me the picture, I told her, no, this is very bad. This is not right. And then I didn't go by telling her that, didn't they teach you from home? No. It's not. The way you carry your body actually shows how much regard you have for it. So we live in a generation where what sells now is women's bodies. Women show their bodies. Men show women's bodies. Everything is just all over like that. It looks as if, you know, the standard of beauty has gotten so low. Shall you understand? As to be placed on something the woman did nothing to get. You know, shape and all of that everywhere. You know, social media. Before you know anything, you see one lady, she's already turning bonbon. And then you see them wearing skimpy stuff just to show their bodies. It shows they don't have regard for that body. What you have regard for is what you cover. What you have regard for is what you clothe. Should I tell you the truth? If you don't have regard for your body, the devil will not regard it. Demons will not regard your body. You are the owner of the body now. The way you treat your body is how they will help you treat it. Shall you understand? I remember one time that the Lord was telling me many years ago. He said, if you don't have regard for your words, evil spirits won't regard it. So that was the day he was telling me that you can't be a comedian and expect that your words will carry power. He said, words must mean to you what words mean to God. So I just knew from that particular day that there's certain things I cannot do. I can't just be the kind of person that is making everybody laugh. For what? Do you understand what I'm saying? Because of what the Lord said to me. Yes, I can be a jester. Can you be a jester? And then some people, as bad as this, they think that's their calling. Imagine Jesus commissioning you to go and be a jester. Does that look like what Jesus would do? go and be making the nations laugh. No. There's no such calling. Do you understand? There's no such calling. So, now, the ones that are less honorable, upon this we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts, let's say uncomely parts. You know what they call uncomely parts? These are parts that when they are outside, you are ashamed. He now said, and our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. Why will they have abundant comeliness? Because they are covered. Are you understanding? They are not out there in the open. Let's say amen. Now, I discovered that this is the same principle that the Lord also uses for the body. Let's say amen. God will help us. If you know how much faith the Lord has in all those denominations that are not doing well, how much He cares for them. See, one of the most humbling experiences sometimes is going to some of those churches and seeing that the Lord is in their midst. Yeah. You discover that we are hearing word of righteousness, we are following revelation knowledge. All of us are, you know, you are just, in fact, the revelation thing is so clear, you are seeing the throne. But there are some manifestations of the Spirit in their midst that are not here. You just get there and you discover that some kind of healings that take place, some kind of miracles that take place, some of those things God does them to humble us. Shall you understand? Why? Because the uncomely parts, there is need to bestow upon them more abundant honor. You see a whole lot of them like that. They don't have light, but they can never betray Jesus. You see them like that, very small. Some of them can't speak English. But you see that Jesus thing, what they believe is, you know, when they wake up in the morning devotion, in the morning, early in the morning, I will rise and praise the Lord. But once they believe in a thing, you see that confidence can never shake, no matter what that thing is like. Do you understand? Now, if you are Jesus, there's a way Jesus saw them, or there's a way Jesus sees them. And then the Lord, that's why the Lord puts shepherds on them. People like Daddy Adeboye, for example. People like Bishop Oyedepo. You know, some of those people, let me give you one very good example. I was traveling with Pastor Tokpe. I traveled with Pastor Tokpe to Makurdi some years ago. And then we went to, as we were coming, we were at a filling station. The car that was carrying us just decided to stay there to refuel. And then we were there. And then we were just pouring, You know, as they were selling the fuel, fire just broke out. Fire broke out, I think, on one bike like that. The bike man was also queuing to buy fuel. Oh my God. Come and see stampede. And then one woman that was sitting behind me, she was just shouting, "Oh God of Dunamis, God of Dunamis, God of Dunamis, the God of my pastor, Pastor Paul Enenche, Pastor, God of Dunamis." She shouted this God of Dunamis. Sote, as she was about to come out of the car, she fell down. People marched on her. You know, everybody was scampering for safety. But at the end of the day, they were able to take out the fire. And then she sustained bruises. She had injury. She entered the car and then we drove off. And then I sat down, just thinking. Now, you know, you can look at that thing and make jest of that lady. But the truth is, the Lord recognizes where she is standing and is connecting with her at that level. Are you understanding? The God that put out the fire is still the God of Dunamis. Did you get what I'm saying? Let's say God of Dunamis. Because the truth is, you see, the God of Dunamis is also the same God that all of us who call in the name of Jesus are also serving. Myself, so on that particular trip, we sat down in the hotel where we were watching TV. I want to just give you a very good example of what I'm saying. So we're watching Dunamis. They have a TV. People are many in that place. Pastor said something. Pastor said, see how many people are in this place. He said, just bring their praise and worship cannot be less than 1.5 hours. Also, they can dance in that church. They will dance and dance. And the pastor, in fact, the pastor himself and the whole family, all of them will come out like that and dance and dance. In fact, his videos of dancing, they are all over YouTube. She understand. And then pastor just said, that in this kind of church, as many as they are, like, when you see them rejoicing and dancing, if you just bring the hope of eternal life into this place, you discover that the church will just thin out. And it's true. It's not all of them like that, that love Jesus the way Jesus wants to be loved. But I can tell you that still in their midst, there's still a manifestation of Jesus there. Yes, let me give you one testimony that we had in one of those times that we were watching that TV. A particular child was diagnosed with kidney issues. The child had one very bad kidney. So they told them that this kidney is packing up. They had tried managing it. They placed the child on dialysis. Nothing happened. So eventually, they now said they need to get a kidney. I think they sold a lot of almost everything that they had. You know, borrowed money, did a lot. They were able to get a donor eventually. So by the time they now said, okay, surgery. Did they get a donor? Or they wanted to examine? So they now wanted to examine the kidney. Shall you understand? To know, you know, maybe what to do or something. That's how they opened the child up. By the time they opened the child up, you know, normally a human is supposed to have two kidneys, but one is already bad. So they are supposed to have one that is correct and then one that is bad. By the time they opened the child up, okay, so they didn't get, it's not like they had a donor. They didn't have a donor. They didn't have anything. They just went to Pastor Paul. Pastor prayed for them. And I think, you know, brethren also prayed it to have been praying, trusting the Lord. By the time they opened the child up, the child should be around maybe 6-7 years old. By the time they opened the child up, they saw 3 kidneys inside the child. The bad kidney was already detached. 2 kidneys were already attached inside that child. So the doctor just said, they've never seen this one before. They took pictures, did everything. They just cut off that wrong attachment. So that wrong attachment was the kidney that was bad before. They had never opened this child up at all. So by the time they opened the child up, they just saw 3 kidneys. One, the original one that had always been working well, and then a new one that had been attached, just as if there was nothing. Then they now saw this other one that was bad, just hanging by the side. So the whole essence of the opening up, just cut off that one, and then they sewed the boy up, and then they came to church. Of course, the dancing of that for that testimony was a lot. Now, who do you think did that? It's Jesus. Same Jesus. And this thing is very important because so many of us that are here will still become ministers. And you will go into churches. By the time you get to churches, you will not, you know, one of the problems or one of the errors, heart errors of people with revelation knowledge is to minister from a place of arrogance. All you people, what have you people been doing since? In fact, you guys don't even know anything. You don't know anything. No. You don't do that. There was one redeemed church I was invited to go and minister. So I entered into the church like this. I just, big church. The Holy Ghost just spoke to me. He said, all these people, look at them. He said, they are Pastor Adeboye's children. He said, and you must not say anything to make them have an impression that what Pastor Adeboye is teaching them is not sufficient. Of course, immediately he said that, I knew that I can't teach eternal life there. I can't teach everlasting life there. I can't even teach Christ there. If I'm going to teach Christ there, I have to use another word for it. Which, of course, means that which I won't be able to do if I don't correctly understand the Christ concept. Shall you understand? So I can't go there and be saying faith of the Son. No. So I had to just wait. And the topic they gave me was El Shaddai. So I had to wait. And then the Lord gave me wisdom. And what I taught there was leading of the Spirit. And then by the time I was done, I left the meeting. Bro AB followed me for that meeting. She understand? The pastor was so blessed. Everybody was so blessed. In fact, one of the pastors wrapping up the meeting said, all of us went to Bible school today. He said, today's message, I've never had the Bible taught like this. You know, everything was clear. Everybody was rapt attention. Do you understand? But I had to obey that instruction, that commandment. I can't get to that place and now teach from new birth to the throne. That's foolishness. And the only thing that can make a soul do that is because you cannot discern the body. Do you understand? So when they say doctrine of baptism, you need to understand that we are members of the body. And can I say another thing to us? You see, all of us in the word of righteousness ministry, word of righteousness, we are just like Joseph. That is being sent ahead to preserve the life of his brothers. When you look at Joseph and you look at his brothers, who do you think God bestowed more abundant honor on? It's the ones that are feeble, it's the brothers. Let's say it's the brothers. You don't believe it's the brothers. You think honor is the throne that Joseph sat on? No, that's how a Gentile thinks. That throne is for responsibility. The essence of the throne is to serve. The essence of the throne is to save. Do we get that? So, look at all the brothers that sold Joseph. Sold him to slavery. And then Joseph entered into slavery. Whose feet was hot with fetters? Is it the brothers or Joseph? It's Joseph. Who went to Potiphar's house and then they lied on? Is it the brothers? It's Joseph. The brothers were, their own lives were going on well. But when Joseph was doing all of those things, the mind of God was on the brothers. Are you getting what I'm saying? And then Joseph had to go through like that. Who interpreted dream? Who was forgotten inside the dungeon? It was Joseph. It was Joseph. By the time Joseph was now later elevated and put in position of authority, they also had to try Joseph's heart to know if he had forgiven his brothers. And then they now later brought all the brothers so that they will not die of famine. Now that's how God thinks. So he gives the just to get the unjust. Do we understand that? So the word of righteousness company all over the world, we are just like Joseph, sent ahead to preserve the life of our brothers. And that's why we are going through a lot. Thank you, sir. We are going through shege. Let's say shege. In fact, thank God for the intercession of Jesus. Our shege will have been more than this. Accusations of all kinds. People will come and meet you. So what are you trying to say? What's the difference between everlasting life and eternal? You see, a lot of places where those things are coming from. Shall you understand? It's like our feet are being hot. They look like many things Joseph had to go through before he got to the place of authority. And you see, that place of authority is not a place to shine. It's a place to save. Do we get that? So that is what every one of us is going through. So when you see some people who just wake up one day and they are just accused, evil spirits are doing all of that. Because, not because of us, because they don't want God to secure the rest. That's all. At the end of the day, later, everybody will discover that what these people have found, what God gave to Reverend K is actually the map. And then everybody will now begin to learn it. Do we understand? But thank God Joseph didn't turn back when the journey was hot, when the journey was hard. If he had turned back, all his brothers will have been hopeless. Do we get that? All right. So I'm talking about the body. Let's say the body. Because the doctrine of baptism will put respect for the body inside your hearts. Let's say amen. There are people in white garment churches that will preach this message with terrible signs and wonders following. Do you understand? There are people in different places that you look at. There are some people that are still doing fall down and die right now. Sure, you understand? Fall down, die. That they will come into some kind of understanding of this thing. And they will give their lives for it. Are we understanding? So understanding of the body and understanding the commitment of God to the body will take us from the place of accusing the body. Because we'll discover that, see, we need the body. The body does not need us. Imagine your hand. You'll say, I'm not part of the body. I've seen a man without hand that is alive. I've never seen a hand without a body that is alive. How many of us have seen a hand without the body that is alive? I've not seen one. And it will not start tomorrow. Shall you understand? We just discover that when that particular part of the body gets healed, the body just survives without it. Now that's how the body is. So nobody should say, okay, because of I know something, you now vaunt yourself against the body. No, it's wrong. Sometimes you find some ministers, the way they teach or the way they minister like they are the correctors of the body. Now, I discover when that you go, okay, he's ministering and then he wants to correct some things. Or maybe Pastor Emeka, there is a way they go about it. Why do they go about it like that? They just tiptoe around it. Why? It's milk. Doctrine of baptisms. That thing is here. Do we understand? So even when you catch a father in a fault or in an error, you don't just get up and just say, yes, finally. We have been saying it. They've been caught. There was a court. How can a pastor be saying, no. No, we don't do that. Because we understand that there is an arrangement of God in the body. He said God set in the body. Shall we understand? So that's exactly what this thing is going to put on our inside. Are we getting what I'm saying? So the first thing I said is that it's going to raise us above tribalism. Let's say tribalism. You see, that's class thing. The Holy Ghost doesn't look at your how much is your bank account before he fuels you. Imagine if the Holy Ghost is checking bank account before he fuels people. Some of us will never have Holy Ghost to because we didn't only just have no money in our accounts. We were owing the bank. Holy Ghost just be looking at Odig Basie. Look at this one, debtor. How can I feel this one? Do you understand what I'm saying? But the Holy Ghost did not look at that. The Holy Ghost didn't look at your family background before filling you. So in that same way, you see all those things the Lord did not consider before he received you. Don't consider them to receive your brethren. Are we understanding? And what did I say? Don't do what? Don't consider them to receive your brethren. Let me say this and then I think I'll be done for today. We'll continue by God's grace in February. So, and thank God I'm not traveling in February. So, see. When it comes to relating one with another, do you know that the pattern of your relationship is not on how a brother related with you. It is on how God related with you. They said, just as God in Christ forgave you, you also forgive one another. As God in Christ. So that means the pattern I'm looking at is not how this brother related with me. Then me too, I'm now showing it. And then when they now say, why are you showing it this way? He said, well, that's, I think that's the pattern here. Everybody is living like that. No, the pattern is as God in Christ forgave. Which means every time I receive forgiveness from God, the forgiveness I have received from God should instruct my heart to forgive the next person that's offending me. Same way, just as we forgive those who trespass against us. Are we following me? So, same way. Let's say same way. So, that means the forgiveness I'm obtaining is supposed to instruct my heart to be more forgiving. Otherwise, you will be like Israel. That the Bible says, God said they saw my works for 40 years, but they still erred in their hearts. You know what that means? They saw works for 40 years, and the works they saw for 40 years did not correct a wrong heart posture. Which means, when you see the works of God, they are supposed to correct your heart. You don't just see the works and admire it. Wow! And then your heart is still the same. Shall we get? Some of us, we enjoy the works of God. I was ministering somewhere and I was talking about in our midst, we have enjoyed God's works. A brother and a sister you never met before. They just met you. And they are so concerned about your life. Don't you see that? Don't you see that as work? It's God's works. Some of us are even from families that they don't care about us. On your birthday, nobody in your family remembers you. But brethren will now contribute money and give to you. And you will collect the money. You now say, I just like that brethren and shaman shame here. Brethren life. Brethren life is very good. Do you understand? But you see, that thing that you are enjoying is not instructing your heart to be like that to another person. Do you get? That's how God actually began to have issues with Israel. Manna was falling. Things were happening. And then the thing did not instruct their hearts. So when God is showing you a particular thing, that thing that God is manifesting or displaying towards you should instruct your heart and should make you more open to somebody else. Remember the story of the person that offended, that was owing his master a lot of money, maybe like 2 million naira, for example. And then the master looked at him, and because he had nothing to pay, the master forgave him. As soon as he left the master like this, it just went. The next servant he saw was somebody that was owing him 2,000 naira. And he held him by the neck and said, I will never let you go until you are paid the last penny. The master will always hear. The master will always hear. Because the sighing of prisoners always touches ears. You know what sighing is? That means the prisoner has not cursed. The prisoner just did, Jesus will hear it. So because you have held that man, you have locked that man in prison. The man is already inside prison. I will never, you have paid me. The master had it. And then the master said, go and bring that man again. Let's reopen his file. And then they put him in prison. And they said, he will never be let go of until he has paid the last penny. We know that he's going to die there. Because the only premise upon which he was forgiven in the first place is because he had nothing to pay. So if you sell everything that he had, he cannot pay the amount of money he has owed. And why did the master take it very personal towards him? The reason is because if you have been forgiven, the least you can do is to be forgiving. Be forgiving. Shall we understand? Be forgiving. Forgive another person. If they have forgiven you, you know, many of us, when we receive God's forgiveness, you know, ah, Lord, please forgive me. You receive his pardon. You know that he has forgiven you and he will never make reference to what you have done. You know that's how you are supposed to forgive another person. So, but you don't want your case to be brought back to memorial. But you are bringing every other person's back to memorial. And that's not how it works. Do we understand that? The Lord is going to help us in the name of Jesus. So the least we can do is that, you see that hand they are extending to us, extend it to another person. So if Jesus didn't consider the things the Lord is not considering about your life that is making him interact with you, why are there now standards that you are using to judge every other person? Why are there standards you are using to relate with other people? And he doesn't speak English well. How much of English are you speaking? Look at the way he's speaking English. Look at the way, like, well, let me not use this example here because this message might get to a place where I don't want it to get to. You understand? You just say that guy is his grammar. He's not, in fact, the guy is supposed to be in Ecomog. Because every time he opens his mouth, like, these bullets are just coming out. The guy just asked, so where have you been? I go market. She understand that. How could be, when he's speaking grammar like that, I'm just having migraine. What language are you speaking that is not giving God migraine? You know one thing that the pastor said? I think it was pastor who said it this morning when we were in Ottawa. You know, we went to Ottawa today. We drove there and then we drove back. We landed safely. So we were talking and then pastor said something. Pastor said, sometimes when I'm in a place where people are talking about people, you know, I quoted you today when we were coming to this place. So when I'm in a place where people are talking about people, that this person, in fact, is not even, you know, is giving us issues. This one is giving us problems. Pastor said, I'm just looking at myself. That, oh, this is not how they are talking about me. When they talk about that, he say, brokenly, And then two angels are talking that, yeah, brokenly, That guy, he gives us problem. You don't know. In fact, I saw the Lord yesterday. The way he was just looking, I knew that the person that's making his head go down like that is Brother Silas. Are you getting what I'm saying? I know that it's Brother Silas. Sir, the Lord, but the Lord is loving. Shall the Lord is loving. It cannot be me. In fact, it cannot be me. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when he said that thing, I said, I've never thought like this before. This is a new thought. Let me borrow it. Let me add it to what I already have. So the same hand, extend it. It's not tribal. It's not race. Let me tell you. You see, all our tribal divisions are a lie. Let's say a lie. If they bring your spirit out, it's not from the east. If they bring your spirit out, it's not a Yoruba spirit. If they bring your spirit out, your spirit is not from the north. There is no Hausa spirit. There's no Fulani spirit. Do we understand? So, if they bring your soul out, in fact, the only reason your soul is that way is because of training. And if they train your soul, for example, an Easterner that grows up in Lagos is most likely going to think like a Yoruba person. Am I correct? A Yoruba man that grows up in the north will most likely think like an Hausa man. So if your soul got the shape it had by training, that means it can be retrained. Do we get that? So you see all those tribal something, they are lies. So you can't just cement yourself and say, you know, that's how we are in our place. No! No! So, and that should never be the platform or the yardstick of relating one with another. Now, this is the foundation for love to all the saints. Let's say love to all the saints. Why? Because by one spirit. Let's say by one spirit. Let's say by one spirit. Isn't this beautiful? Imagine yourself just traveling out one day. And then you just find yourself somewhere in New Zealand. Where you didn't know anybody. And then you just enter into an eatery. And then you just met somebody. And by the time the person just opened his mouth to speak. Shall you understand? You know that transaction that happened between Mary and Elizabeth just happened. Just at the voice of that person, something inside you responds. And you know, this is my sister. And both of you sit down there and talk for 3 hours. Never having met before. But by the time you guys are conversing, it looked as if you have been in each other's life all your life. Do you understand? Because even though both of you have never seen before, you have been touching the same thing in the spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying? Beautiful. Lovely. Shall you understand? Lovely. Lovely. And that is exactly how God wants it to be. So it's not like, hey, what kind of a person is this one? Shall you understand? No. By one spirit. Same Holy Ghost. It's not different. It's the same Holy Ghost. It's not lesser in quality. It's not higher in quality. Same Holy Ghost. Are we following me? And that thing will just melt. You discover that you will see your boss that is, you know, maybe from the north or somewhere. Or somebody that probably doesn't even necessarily dress well. But you won't see that as a yardstick of interacting. You won't look at the person and say, no, you know I'm from Ikere. So he's from Okitipupa. Many, many years ago, there was one war that fought. What was your business with the war that happened? Do you understand? Did your forefathers fight in the war? Is it not a story that you had? Or if you're a Modakeke, you say, you know I'm from Ifedimodake. Both of us, we don't do what? You don't do what? Shall you understand? So, all of those things will melt if we understand the doctrine of baptism. So, it should be taught. Do we understand? It should be taught. If these things are not taught, we will carry over our previous prejudices into the church. And that was what happened in the early church. The Hellenists and then the Greeks. The Hellenists are Jews that speak Greek. So, and then the Greeks, they said their widows have been neglected in the daily distribution because something was not inside yet. And then they needed people, graduates of the milk of the word, that don't have that thing inside. They need 7 of them. You know, I'm just thinking, 7. Let me tell you, 7 men that cannot be bought over. 7 men who don't have tribal bias can manage over 8,000 people. You know, I looked at it. If you look as if, there are 8,000. The number is many. In fact, we need to get like maybe 150 or we need like 200. No, 7 men did the job. 7 men. Then you discover that actually, when the iniquity of a land is many, many are the princes. Do you understand? Do you understand? Like in Nigeria now. Yes, one local government, 300 commissioners. There will be commissioner for and commissioner of. When I say this one, he says it's commissioner for transport. Okay, how about this one? It's commissioner of transport. And I say, okay, so what's the difference between off and on? And then they will now sit down and give you 3 hours expose. By the time the whole thing is over, you still don't understand the difference between the off and for. Corruption can generate grammar. Are you getting what I'm saying? Generate different kinds of stuff. So the Bible says, when the iniquity of a land is many, many are the princes. But 7 men took care of a job. Over 8,000 people. And there was no complaint. A man you can't buy. A man that doesn't have tribal sentiments on his inside. Those are Stephen, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Parmenas. You know? And all of those guys like that they mentioned in that place. Milk will deal with those things. Do we understand? There should be nobody. Somebody who has taken milk well should be free to marry from any tribe. Let's say any tribe. If the Holy Ghost leads in that way. So don't be like, you remember saying I must marry you. What you are saying is that you are sick. Yes. And what you are saying is that you are diseased. You have a disease that is caused by deficiency of milk of God's word. You don't know the doctrine of baptism. And almost every one of us, our parents have those kind of stuff. Except parents that have been helped before they give birth to us. I remember my dad called me and said, what? Sit down. I sat down. My dad doesn't always call me like that, but when he calls, I do that, hey, orowa. Ma fell ma kure. Ah. And I said, eh, what happened? Whoa, wulu. Do you understand? Very sincere man, though. He said, I shouldn't marry from Akure. I said, why? He said, because they are not useful. And I said, eh, why? And they always have stories, experience to back up the thing. Then told me once, in fact, the family is the family that I know very well. Told me everything that happened and all of that. And then as he was telling me all those things, my mom just came. My mom just said, ah, don't tell him, my boy, that kind of thing. What are you saying? He said, anywhere the Lord wants them to marry, that's where they will marry from. Ah! I said, that's my mommy. My dad said, I trust the Holy Ghost. You know what he say? I trust the Holy Ghost. He will never lead them to an Agure woman. So you see, all of those things is deficiency of milk. Shall you understand? And he's an elder in church. He's an elder. So you can tell the word level of the church. If a person, if an elder can talk like that, I trust the Holy Ghost. He won't. So you can never claim to be led by the Spirit. I come with an accurate person. My dad will say, you are not led. Look, Dada, pray again. Oh, pray, Dada. God will help us in the name of Jesus. Are we blessed today? Are we blessed today? Can we go ahead and give God thanks?
Oshela Veranaya. I want us to pray. I don't just want us to mutter things. I want us to pray. Amen. Amen. Just for 1 minute. I thank God for Pastor, and I thank God I waited for you, because the things you by the Spirit touched are some of the things that the Lord put as a burden in my spirit over the years. 2 days ago, I said I was going to discuss certain people because the Lord was pointing to, it's part of the things that were in my heart about the reproach, rolling away reproach. He was talking about a lingering reproach. It's been in my spirit for a while, but yesterday particularly, I began to consider those things. Let's see Ezekiel chapter 5. I just want us to see the gravity of what, I'm not preaching again, I want us to see the gravity of the things that Pastor is raising. Ezekiel chapter 5 from verse 5. Ezekiel chapter 5. It's quite a lengthy passage if we can read from verse 1 to 15, but for context sake, I want us to just see. It says, thus saith the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set it in the midst of the nations and countries that are round about her. Verse 6. And she hath changed my judgment into wickedness more than the nations, and my statutes more than the countries that are round about her. For they have refused my judgment and my statutes. They have not walked in them. Verse 7, my key scriptures. Say, therefore, thus saith the Lord, because ye multiplied more than other nations round about you, that is, you grew, and ye have not walked in my statutes, neither have kept my judgment, neither have done according to the judgments of the nations that are round about you. Verse 8, therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I am against you, and I will execute judgment in the midst of thee, in the sight of the nations. So, God said, because I multiplied you, I expected you to keep some judgments. I expected you to walk in certain ways that will lighten the nations. But what you now did, you didn't even do my judgments. You didn't keep my commandments. You didn't even do the standard of what the people are doing. You did something way below it. You went way below it. That there's a standard of life I was expecting. Then go to verse 14 and 15. Just jump all that. We can read it at home. Verse 14. Can we quickly? It said, moreover, I will make thee waste, and a reproach among the nations, that are round about thee in the sight of all that pass by. So it shall be a reproach and a taunt and an instruction and an astonishment unto the nations that are round about thee when I execute judgment in thee in anger and in fury, in a furious rebuke, in furious rebukes. I, the Lord, have spoken. Now, the way it came to me is this, that there are judgments that the Lord expects of us by reason of the light that is come, that we ought not to judge in ways that even nations that are round about do not judge that way. And so many of those things, Pastor Mike, by the Spirit began to touch onto. Now, God expects a change. God expects a change in how we evaluate our brother, in how we judge our sister, in how we relate amongst ourselves. And the root of it is this understanding. So what God brought is help. Now, if some of these things do not change, something can turn against us. Sincerely. Something can turn against us. Like I said, this is not, we didn't discuss it. These are things, in fact, what I was going to teach today, that's why I said, I was looking at the suitability of teaching it, is Joshua 5. When the Lord actually turned away the reproach of Egypt, because the reproach of Egypt followed them up until Gilgal. It was when they circumcised, it was the second circumcision. That was what, it was heavy upon my heart because it was one of the burdens that we need to be circumcised again. And part of circumcision is an inward, Philippians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 2, is an inward, Romans chapter 2 also, talking about the circumcision of the spirit, which is inside. In turning away, there are certain things we must walk away from. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He said, judge the way you want to be judged. Yes. Because with the same judgment you judge, it shall be meted unto you. You know, some of us, we need to be careful with the way we address certain issues. Because if you stand on that judgment, God will judge you that way. Yes. Sincerely. Because if you judge without mercy, you will also be judged without mercy. You will be judged without mercy. If you look at physical criteria to make a judge, and you take a firm stance, and light is coming, and you just take a stand for it, you will soon lose out a lot in the spirit. I want us to take it critically as a warning in the spirit. And repent where we need to repent. Because, sincerely, what God is saying to us today is not just an exhortation in the word. It's not just, no. It's a clarion, it's a call in the spirit. I want us to pray. From the heart. If there's any way. You see, what we're discussing yesterday, that Pastor was being. That's been the judgment in my heart since, and every single time I say before I make a decision concerning anybody, I first look at myself, look at God. Why? I don't want to put myself in line of God's wrath. I don't want to. He said, if you judge without mercy, you will receive judgment without mercy. I want us to pray. Every one of us. If it's a time to tell God, in the times of ignorance, God winged that. But now calls you all men everywhere to repent. Tell God, have mercy on me. Maybe I've dealt with my brother after a manner, I've dealt with my sister. I've expected something from them, which God, in sincerity, doesn't expect from me, and I have enjoyed grace towards. Can I ask God for mercy? That the Lord will show me mercy. The Lord will show me mercy. You have looked upon a church and criticized them. And then you yourself, you are not better off in the spirit. But you have just been critical in a way. Can you ask God for mercy? Can you ask God for mercy? You have despised in your heart. You might not have vocalized something, but you despised in your heart a person because of something. And then it was offensive to God. Can you ask God mercy? Lord, show me mercy. 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 E cavilomana ajovera gala matoferia. Can we now pray? Lord, help me to discern my brother again. Help me to discern my brother again. Help me to discern your body again. Help me, Jesus. Give me a new set of eyes. Give me a new set of heart to see again. My brother, my sister, your body. Thank you, machacha. Ochali paporo fefenai. Aduni fria na paranatulia vajanjirata. Arimovie vie 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 Jesus. Adunu vienja bibayaka baklia papata. Adunu weto fefilia pratia tachata elunefria da janjiria da galaga gerene toto fefelila ajuele vereniata. Jesus help me. Jesus, Jesus help me. Handu efe, leave me up in judgment. Can you pray, Lord Jesus, leave me up in judgment. 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 Philippians chapter 1 verse 9 said that we should, that our love should abound in knowledge and in all judgment. Lord Jesus, leave me up in judgment. Where I am falling short in judgment, leave me up. Leave me up. Leave us up, Jesus. Let us measure according to the degree to which you have multiplied us. In the name of the Lord Jesus, leave us up in judgment to the degree to which you have multiplied us, Jesus. Eliko, oreziene peretas embariba, oshesia. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give you thanks, our God. We give you thanks, our God. Lord Jesus, we consecrate our hearts again before you. This will not just be words, knowledge. It will become illumination. It will become a path for us. It will become our life. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name.
We trust that this message has been a source of blessing to you. For a wealth of similar messages, please visit our website at www.ikorodu.nlwc.church or feel free to contact us at 0703-576-0085. You can also reach out to us via WhatsApp at the same number. May God's blessings continue to abound in your life.